Hang on just a second. This is Jeff J. Graham, and I am in Hong Kong, and I am with a wonderful, wonderful person, Dong Ping Han. This is the first time we have ever met, but we have known each other for years via email. This is what happens when you write and publish books. You become email friends, and so we have been friends for so long, and so he told me, Jeff, can you stay a couple of days longer so that we can meet after your trip to China? And I said, yeah. So I paid to have my ticket extended a couple of days, and so we get to actually get to meet each other. So great to have you, Dong Ping. Dong Ping Han is a professor at Warren Wilson University, North Carolina. I have interviewed him, I think, twice, and I put a couple of his articles on my website. His book about the Cultural Revolution is so good. I had actually sent my last book to the publisher, and I finished Dong Ping's book, and I said, give me my book back. I've got to change it because I learned so much reading this book about the Cultural Revolution, because he was there, and he was there for the Great Leap Forward. Anyway, he's an amazing guy, and what do you teach it to Warren Wilson?
I teach 8 classes. I design 8 classes. I don't teach them all at the same time, but I teach one class called Chinese Government and Politics. I teach international politics of the Pacific, about U.S., Japan, China, and all this stuff, right? I teach a class about third world country, compared to government of third world country. I teach global environment.
Wow.
Yeah, how environmental crisis started in the world, why agriculture failure is a very big part of it. So the class I call is agriculture, community, and the environment.
Agriculture.
How these three things was interconnected.
Okay.
And I also teach a class called the Chinese Cultural Revolution. And altogether 8 classes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, Dong Ping actually lived in China. He grew up. We're both almost the same age. So he was a young boy during the Great Leap Forward and a teenager during the Cultural Revolution. And, and so he knows all about it. And he wasn't in some swanky party apartment in Beijing. He was in the boondocks in Shandong, living in a village. So read his book. I will put the links of all his stuff on my website and his book. You really should read it. It's just fabulous. Well, Dong Ping, you've also gone back to China many times and done field work and research. Tell us, obviously, China, Taiwan, the United States, Japan is all very, very much in the news. What do you think the fans out there who do not really know China very well need to know about the current situation with NATO and its allies, South Korea, Japan, and Taiwan?
Okay. I think most people didn't realize how strong the Chinese people feel Taiwan part of China. Actually, I was very happy for the last few weeks, the Chinese government refused to talk to the U.S. government now. Why? I think in China, if somebody betrayed their promise, right?
Yeah.
You're not a trustworthy person.
Yeah.
I don't want to have anything to do with you anymore.
Yeah.
Individually. Countries should be like that too.
Yeah.
The U.S. from Nixon, right? Nixon came to China, talked with the Chinese leader Mao and Zhou Enlai. They agreed Taiwan is a part of China. There's only one China. Taiwan is part of China, right? That's a promise for Chinese people. That's a solemn promise.
Yeah, yeah.
But over the years, Americans used Taiwan as what? Chinese wall. Yeah. When they were unhappy, they squeeze Chinese bull, right?
Yeah.
So they have been abusing China or Taiwan for so long. Finally, she told Americans,
Xi Jinping,
enough is enough.
Yeah.
You want to deal with China, you change your position on Taiwan. I think that's very, very important.
Okay.
I want to tell you one story most people didn't know. I was doing rural research in 1996 in a Chinese village in Henan province.
Henan's in the central part of the country.
And I was in Nanhua County and Qianfu village one night. At that time, the U.S. sent two carriers to Taiwan Strait because there's some tension there. So that night, about 22 young men came to my room and asked me, is Taiwan in China in danger of moving Taiwan?
This was 1996.
1996, I said, you know, let me ask you, the market is involved in Taiwan, what's supporting Taiwan independence. If China was trying to take it back, there will be war between China and the U.S. Mm-hmm. And there was how many people among you are ready to risk your lives to fight this war with America? I remember there are no hesitation among the 22 people raised their hands. Yes, we are ready to die for it. Only one person didn't raise hand because he's married. And he said, I need to talk to my wife before I commit myself,
that's
right?
Reasonable.
Yeah. You know, the next day he came to me, back to me, said, I talked to my wife. My wife asked me how much money we have. I was why? Because my wife said, we are going to donate our money to the government for buying bombs if they were going to fight in America. You know, sometimes the farmers make me cry. Really, in a village. When the U.S. bombed the Chinese embassy in
Yugoslavia,
there are so many Chinese farmers here, women. We let them abuse us like this. We should donate money to buy bombs, to bomb them. There are a lot of people doing that in the countryside. I have a lot of respect for Chinese farmers. I have a lot of respect for the Chinese young people today. They are no longer think that nothing to do with their lives. They take this very seriously. And they are ready to fight for Taiwan to return to China.
I have seen polls, and when these polls come out in China, it's not the Chinese government doing these polls. It's Pew Trust, it's Gallup, and Pew, I think, is in England. Gallup is in the United States. Ipsos is in France. These are Western polling companies that are international because they want to see what different countries think. And they have done surveys asking the Chinese, would you be willing to go fight to protect your country? And China was at the top of the list. It was like 80-something percent of the Chinese that they surveyed were ready to go fight a war to protect their country. You know, and they had France and they had, different countries. The United States was about 30%. So I agree. I just spent 3 weeks, more than 3 weeks in China. And there's a real sense of cohesiveness. There's a real sense of solidarity. A real sense of solidarity.
So also part of the reason is that China had been abused and by the Western powers over about 150 years. And the Chinese government has been teaching the Chinese people about that part of history. And the Chinese people take that part of history very seriously. I mean, for Americans, they never fought to defend their country, right? When they fought in Korea. What did Korea have to do with American people's lives? Yeah. But for the Chinese, that's really, really defending their motherland, defend their own people. The slogan was, fighting America, defending the motherland, right? And when Americans fight in Vietnam, in Korea, they don't see any connection between their lives and the fighting they had in that part.
And Iraq.
Yes.
And Afghanistan. Yeah. And Syria.
That's right. In the beginning, when we see, I'm fighting to defend democracy. But once they get there, they see these innocent local people and nothing against Americans. Why do they want to kill these innocent people?
Do you feel like that? I mean, do you have a like a timeline? I mean, to me, it seems like the NATO is preparing Taiwan.
I personally think
to use Ukraine against Russia. They want to use Taiwan.
I don't think that's the U.S. government will take a military move.
You don't think so?
No, they have people. There are some people think it's easy to get, right? But there are some generals I heard just last couple of days. They think they cannot mess with China. It's on the Chinese front door, right? America has huge stake in Asia.
Yeah.
All American bases in Japan, more than 100. American bases in South Korea, Philippines, will be all in the range of Chinese missiles.
Yeah.
Right, it's not something you got try and lose. That's not too big, too big a stake for America to take the risk.
Not only that, Dong Ping, but a lot. Of course, you know this, but a lot of people in the West don't know is that China and North Korea have a mutual defense treaty.
That's right.
That they signed with Zhou Enlai and Kim back in 1960, so that if the United States attacks China, they're going to be attacked by the DPRK, North Korea, and you do not want to mess with 1.2 million ideologically motivated North Korean soldiers because they're tough people.
Yeah.
And they also have hundreds of thousands of missiles. They've got thermonuclear intercontinental ballistic missiles, so that, you know, and so they would be taking on China and North Korea.
Well, so Russia too.
Yeah, Russia too, because they have a
common Russia's border. Russia's a
corner. Yeah, because Russia has a common border with DPRK.
Yep.
Well, I hope you're right, Dong Ping, but I think what I worry about is that the two generals that you talk to are, you know, they know the facts.
I think the Chinese, from the Chinese military perspective, Taiwan is not a military issue anymore. Right? How to do it with the least cost of human life and other disruptions. Yeah. It's not a military problem anymore.
I also point out to people that, you know, Taiwan's only about the size of like the state of Indiana or Switzerland in Europe. You know, and it's only got like 20 million people. It's not even as big as Shanghai or Beijing.
Shanghai province, and where I'm from, right? I had a conference with a Taiwan professor about 7 years ago in Shanghai University, and he was training in the U.S. too, teaching in Taiwan University as a philosopher professor. But he's originally from Shandong.
Oh, Shandong. Okay.
He said, Shandong has 100 million people. Shandong province has 100 million people. Taiwan, 23.
Yeah.
But Taiwan want to challenge whole China? He said, Shandong province is enough to take back Taiwan. Right? 100 million against 23 million. But most Chinese general tell me, will be torn down.
It would last for one day.
The Chinese now, the missiles, right? In one day, they would take out all of Taiwan's defense, and air defense, and a missile defense. One day, will be
there. Yeah, and they'll sink all the Navy, too.
Yes.
They'll sink.
They'll take out the NC commander in one day.
Yeah.
They knew where they are.
Yeah.
Their airplane was demobilized. The airport.
With electronic warfare, satellite warfare.
Yes.
Yeah.
The whole electricity wire network will be destroyed.
Yeah.
In one day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I hope that people like Joe Biden and the Democrats hate the Russians and the Republicans hate the Chinese. So I hope all these people back in the States, have listened to Dong Ping and let's avoid a hot war. Another thing I've always thought about, people don't realize 5% of Taiwan's people live and work in China. You know, they're 5%. There's over a million Taiwanese living and working in China, and these are not.
No, just 5%.
I hope this is. We should be plugging in the computer, but anyway, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
And so I've always joked that all they have to do is just cancel about 10,000, 20,000 visas. Because these guys from Taiwan are not driving taxis and cleaning rooms. These are CEOs. These are business owners.
Yeah.
These are
mid-level management staff. Like Foxconn.
Yeah.
Right?
Presidents Foxconn. Of companies.
Yeah.
Scientists, researchers. And all they have to do is cancel about 10,000 or 20,000 of those visas, and it would create so much chaos in Taiwan with those people and their families all coming back that I'm sure it would make Taiwan think twice about trying to.
I also think that the Ukraine situation teach Taiwanese people a very, very important lesson. When you fight, you get destroyed. Like Ukraine, who suffered the most?
The Ukraine.
It's not Americans, it's not Russians. The Ukraine people, their livelihood being destroyed, their home being destroyed, right? Why? They could easily negotiate a settlement before the conflict starts.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
The same thing is for Taiwan people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have heard, and I'm sure you can confirm this, that and this is, of course, is not divulged in the mainstream media, but polls in Taiwan show that close to half of the people are ready to go back and be with China anyway.
Yeah, they're not. Now in the old days, the Taiwanese government did allow people to carry the Chinese national flag.
Now
it's open. There are so many Taiwanese holding the Chinese national flag parade to show the government we don't want war.
Yeah.
Yeah, we want to be part of China to avoid a war.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know there was a Taiwanese athlete who won who won a medal or something in some Asian competition.
Taekwondo.
Taekwondo.
Yeah, Taekwondo. It's very, very important in Asia.
And he had Taekwondo, and he actually held up the
Chinese flag to celebrate.
Instead of the Taiwanese flag. So
there are a lot of Taiwanese talk show young people openly defy their government, Taiwan local government, and supporting unification.
Yeah, unification. Well, when you look, you just have to, I've heard that Taiwan, we should have plugged my computer in, but anyway, it keeps shut. I think the camera's still working. I've heard that Taiwan is had a lot of growth back in the 70s and the 80s, but its infrastructure is kind of like Hong Kong's. It's just kind of hanging in there. It hasn't really developed. And I'm sure that since then, and I'm sure that they go to Shanghai, they go to Beijing, they go to Xiamen, which is right across, which is 150 kilometers away, Guangzhou, Shenzhen, and they see these, they see the incredible, you know, development in China, and they're like going, man, why don't we have this in Taiwan?
Actually, the Chinese living standard, I would say, in many, many ways, is above Taiwan now. In the old days, in the 80s, right?
Yeah.
Compared with Taiwan, the Chinese people's living standard was lower.
Yeah.
But by today, China actually was compared to more
affordable. Yeah. And for we're actually on the 72nd floor of a hotel where Dongping is staying, and we can also say that about the Hong Kong people. Yeah. Other than the, you know, the 10% that are super rich here. You know, Hong Kong is owned by 10 families. Every time you spend a Hong Kong dollar here, it goes to one of those 10 billionaire families. But for most of the Hong Kong people, their lives here are not great.
Not great.
Not
so much
great.
Stress.
Yeah. And then they go to Shenzhen, and it's like, wow.
That's right. So the Shenzhen, the change from Shenzhen to Hong Kong in the last 4 decades is unbelievable.
Yeah. When I walked across the bridge today from Shenzhen, there's a bridge, obviously covered, across the river into Hong Kong. I said, "Well, I'm leaving the 21st century, and now I'm going back to the 20th century in Hong Kong because that's exactly what it's like. It's like China 30 years ago. It's just not going very far."
No.
So
there are some areas in Hong Kong actually are very, very poor. Unbelievably poor.
A lot of people just barely hanging on.
Living in
rooms as big as a bed.
You don't see that in China. Either.
No, no.
Yeah.
And were any closing comments, Dongping?
Yeah, I think the world is changing very, very fast. The COVID and the war in Ukraine, Russia.
Now that was a catalyst, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That has changed the world.
I don't think American elites realized, even though they tried to hurt China with the COVID, right? I mean, it turned out to be actually the Chinese people as a very cohesive society, they are more prepared to fight in these kind of things.
Yeah.
Whereas Americans, and not that well.
Yeah,
right.
You live in North Carolina.
Yeah,
so your testimony is based on living in and talking to people in China every day.
And the things in the Ukraine and the Russian conflict, American thought Russia will be finished by this.
Yeah, they were going to run out of missiles in 2 weeks.
That's right.
Missiles in 2 weeks.
It turned out to be the Russians are more, right, resilient than the Europeans and that the Americans realize.
Yeah.
I think the Russian economy are doing better than
they are. Yeah, they're doing better.
They're treating well with China.
Yeah.
Quadruple.
Yeah.
In the last couple of years.
And then, of course, China and Russia now are like gummer, you know.
Yes.
They're like,
and also
like
Brazil.
Yeah, Brazil.
And India,
Iran, North Korea,
many countries, right, who suffered in the Western section now got together.
Yeah.
So I think the world, I hope American people realized when we are hurting other people, we are actually hurting ourselves at the same time.
Well, I've always joked that Western leaders, going back to the times of the Greeks, the Greeks and the Romans, other than the couple of hundred years where a few of the small states, Athens and a couple of other states in ancient Greece, had direct democracy, other than that, American Western leaders have been mostly reptile brain. I mean, they just have like reptile brains. They think like lizards, and I really love your optimism, and I hope that they will avoid a hot war with China. Because it's something that I know the Chinese want to avoid, because obviously if you're having a war, it slows down development and increasing the prosperity of the people. But
yeah,
they will. The United States will have about a 1.4 billion out of 1.5 billion Chinese heading to Taiwan to defend their country. So, well, listen, Dong Ping, thank you. We're going to go have a nice dinner here in Shanghai and Hong Kong. And he invited me and got me to, I can go to a conference tomorrow about China, labor and work in China. Yeah. And then Sunday I head back to France. And then I'll reflect on everything I saw in China for the last 3 weeks and Hong Kong for 2 days. And then I'll go back to France and put it all together and have another report. Anyway, Dong Ping, it's so nice to meet you in person.
Yeah.
In person. Yeah.
Thank you.
And we've now
learned so much from you over the years.
And so much from you over the years. Yeah. And I know for all the fans out there to be able to talk to someone who actually lived during the Cultural Revolution and the Great Leap Forward and has spent his adult years in the United States, he is absolutely a huge resource. And I hope you will read his books and his articles that I posted and learn more about the real China. So thank you, Dong Ping.
You're welcome. Thank you, Jeff.
Bye-bye.
Bye.